Yo, you're listening to Mindset Matters with your host, RJ DeLeon. I'm going to take you guys on a journey through the lens of new and accomplished entrepreneurs. So tune in and listen to the mindset shifts our guests have made to become successful entrepreneurs. If I want to change my life, I have to change my mind. That is a quote from our next guest, Brett Levine. Brett Levine is very accomplished, guys, and I'm very excited to speak to him. His accomplishments list is very long, but he's a father of three. He's been married for over 20 years, so there's a lot of lessons there we could learn. He's a partner in a force surgeon, ear, nose, and throat practice, is a passive and active investor in real estate. But what I'm very excited to speak to him about today is BOOM, and that's Breaking Out of the Medical Mindset. It's a group that he's created, launched in January 2022, and it's about the mindsets that we all carry, but this is more focused towards the medical professionals. So I'm really excited to have him on because, as you guys know, you're listening to Mindset Matters with your host, RJ DeLeon. We're a show about entrepreneurs, business owners, and thought leaders, and the changes and the shifts that they've had in their mindsets to become successful. The one thing that we know, it's not always an uphill battle, or rather, it's not always ups. There's a lot of downs. So we want to hear from the professionals and the very successful people about the mindset shifts they've made. So with all that being said, we'll bring on our guest, Brett. Brett, how are you?
I'm doing great, RJ. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. I'm really excited to have you on because this new venture that you have with BOOM. But really, I was listening to the previous podcast and it sounded like you were entrenched in the medical field for so long that there were a lot of learning lessons throughout that journey to get to where you are today. So why don't we start there? Let's give the audience a quick rundown of your background.
Born and raised outside of Philadelphia, moved to Florida for high school. That was a transition right there at a young age. And then came out to college and med school to Los Angeles at USC. Did my training at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia again, and then came back. I had some challenges just coming back and setting up shop in LA, and had a few jobs along the way, and eventually formed my own private practice, and then saw the writing on the walls of the changes in medicine, where I think solo practitioners are not going to be able to compete with large health systems. And started a group here in Southern California outside of LA where I live. And somewhere in there, I got married and had three kids and started playing tennis again, and then started investing in real estate and mastermind groups and in myself. I think I've always invested in myself, but my focus broadened over my life through my challenges.
That's great. And thanks for that background. You said something at the beginning about the transitions, and it seems that the transitions in our lives are always learning lessons. So as you're venturing into your own private practice and now what you're doing, can you talk to the audience about some of the transitions, some of those low periods and some of the learning lessons that you made? You know, you're saying that, there was a lot of learning lessons throughout that journey. So,
yeah, I'll pinpoint some different transitions. There's been a lot. Moving in high school was a transition that taught me that home was where I was and where I wanted to be, as opposed to where I spent my whole life, and allowed me to choose my home. And choice becomes a more prominent theme as we look at the different transitions. Another transition I had was coming out of training and looking for a job, because that was what was safe in my eyes. And that was what I knew, because you come out of academia, you come out of all of your years of education and training, and you're sort of institutionalized into a system that is comfortable because it's what you know. And what you know is always safer than what you don't know until you learn what you don't know. So I looked for a job and had two jobs, and neither of them really were what I wanted, and transitioned into private practice, really was forced into private practice. And that was not easy and not fun at the beginning and a bit scary, but I wouldn't have had done it any other way, because I never would have gotten to where I am now had I not been forced through the pain of problems. And then another transition was when I realized that I just could not work any harder or any longer in medicine to become more. I had reached a ceiling of time, energy, and effort in medicine, but didn't want to stop where I was. And that is really what brought me into looking into mastermind groups and expanding my network. And with that, I expanded what I knew and what I thought about, and also who I could become.
That's a terrific story. I really like a lot of different points that you made there. And that's, you know, that choice has become a reoccurring theme. As we grow up and as we become adults, one of the biggest realizations that I've been making is there's always multiple paths that you could take. And a lot of them are positive, but I'd say majority of them are negative. And so always making sure that you take the choice of the positivity and the way that you look at things. Two, just being institutionalized. Like you said, you use the terms being institutionalized into a system. And I think that system raises us to think a certain way, to avoid risk. You know, like you were saying, a lot of things that you did were not fun and a bit scary, but you wouldn't have been able to get to where you are if it wasn't for being forced through that pain.
Absolutely. Every moment in our lives is a choice. Whether we go to work is a choice, whether we stay married is a choice, whether we exercise is a choice, what we put in our mouth is a choice, whether we see a problem as an exciting challenge or as a nightmare misery is a choice. I appreciate and I'm very conscious and intentional about all of these choices as I've gotten to this stage in my life. And I think it helps you deal with everything, whether it's surprises, whether it's disappointments, and even whether it is having gratitude for celebrations and accomplishments.
Well, I really enjoy that mindset. And it seems like it's always a continuing journey for everybody. But can you pinpoint a time in your life where you started becoming more conscious of that? How did that come about? Was it a natural transition? Was it a medical thing that was taught? How did you come to that?
It definitely is not taught in medicine. You're not taught choice. You're not taught positivity, for sure. There's sort of a negativity bias in medicine. I actually wrote a post on it. So I would say it's a combination. I would say that naturally, I think a lot, probably too much some of the time. So I've had to come to learn to think less at times, but to also focus what I'm thinking on towards my goals, my values, towards what I want as opposed to what I don't want. And I think being in medicine and being living at a time where people have so much fear and anxiety, I try to practice what I preach and I try to learn from my patients. And I every day tell one or two people, you have nothing wrong, or you don't have cancer, or that is normal. And it used to annoy me that I was spending time not fixing things, but I've come to appreciate how incredibly valuable that is to someone who just lost someone they love and they're terrified, or someone who is so distracted by something they saw or found or read on Google and now are obsessed that it's a problem when it's not. So I think the answer to that question is it's a combination of who I am and who I've become.
I really appreciate that answer. And it seems like we may need more doctors such as yourself, because I do feel that pressure from, you know, if you go to your physician sometimes, if what you're thinking of is just thought in your head, like that sort of annoyance that you were saying.
Yes.
But yeah, I really, really appreciate that answer. Do you have any suggestions to the audience? Like, as your younger self, is there something you would tell yourself or something that you would think about so our audience could be more mindful of that transition?
I would say to try to focus on what you want and not be distracted by what you don't want. What you think about, you bring about is a quote I know and that I like. So I'm very aware of that. But I think when we're talking about choice, which we were, you choose who you surround yourself with and what those people think and how they help you or hurt you. And I'm very aware of that. So I have no problem not being around and choosing not to be around negative energy and people who are sort of always downers and telling me why something's going to fail or what the problem is. Or are limiting those people when you have choice? So that's something I'm aware of. It's something I talk about with my kids. My daughter will quote a quote that I said to her once, God knows when, all the time, you know, smell the roses before the roses smell you, you know, when I'm getting too serious and too goal-oriented and she just wants to have fun. So, right. You know, that's a positive influence. That is a reminder. Kids really shine a mirror on who you are and what you emit to them back at you, yeah. Which I think is a incredible blessing and lesson.
Children have the ability to give you an unfiltered view sometimes,
yes,
which is very real and which is what we need.
The elderly do the same thing. I mean, it's a great way to be. Yes, to be unfiltered.
Yes. Yes. So that's actually one of the things that we always talk about is the sphere of influence versus your social circle. And one of the natural ways that you could start to see that you started to make a change is when your social circle starts turning into that sphere of influence, meaning the people who you want to emulate. And James Clear had a very great quote. I don't think it's been quoted, but he said in his book, Atomic Habits, make yourself a part of a culture where the behaviors you want are normal in this circle or this group of friends, which is, you know, essentially the same thing as saying you are the culmination, the five closest people to you.
I love that. I agree. That is a choice. And you can choose whether you hang around people that represent your past, where you're stuck and want to leave, or maybe where you love and you're happy, or to hang around people that represent your future. And maybe not where you are or who you are, but where you want to be. And if they're open to accepting you, which is what I have done, you will learn a lot and they will bring you forward into the future that you want to live and the future you want to become.
Yes, exactly. Which brings us into the mastermind courses. So it's, you know, you're a part of GoBundance and you had mentioned that you started exploring other masterminds. So the thing here, guys, is what we're saying is you can still love those people that grew up that you spent many, many years with. But when it comes to choosing and planning your own future, sometimes there does have to be change. It doesn't mean you have to cut them out, but don't go to those people for advice when you're looking to open up a restaurant if they've never opened up a restaurant. So that's where these masterminds and these mindset courses come key, which brings me to breaking out of the medical mindset. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience first in masterminds and then how the idea came out, came to boom?
Sure. So I've been in about three masterminds. When I had reached that ceiling of not knowing what else to do. It was simultaneous with a buddy of mine saying, hey, I think I'm going to form a group of people and we're going to get together weekly or monthly, actually. And I had read a book called Success Principles by Jack Canfield, which talked about mastermind groups. And it was just, it was at a time where I had no time, but it was also good timing. And I said yes. And really for many years, maybe 4 or 5 years, we met monthly, five of us, and shared our problems, which up until that point in time, and in medicine, the medical mindset is you don't share your problems, you don't share any weaknesses. That's a sign of failure or vulnerability is a negativity. So this was a really uncomfortable, but growth phase of transition in my life. And I learned to trust people that were outside my family and share problems and get feedback that was objective, that they had no interest in positive or negative feedback, just honest feedback, and to hear other ideas. And that transitioned me into GoBundance, where actually David Osborne came to our mastermind group when he was just building it and introduced himself and told us about the pillars and the things GoBundance represented. And the mastermind group I was in, it sort of gotten a little repetitious and I was wanting to expand more. And this was very uncomfortable, but also very exciting. So it was a exciting discomfort or an exciting unknown. And I went and checked it out and joined. This is 2014, 8 years ago. And it has done nothing but changed my life in almost every aspect of it, whether it's from a health standpoint, certainly from a financial standpoint, from an investment standpoint, from how I am a dad, from how I'm a husband, to how I'm a boss in the office. So that has been very successful. And I love medicine, but I don't want it to define me. And it certainly will not do it till the day I die. I also love my life and appreciate how spectacular a journey that can be. And medicine is really intense and serious. And I look forward to a day where I don't have to deal with life and death and cancer on a weekly basis as what I do, just to have a little more levity and fun on a daily basis. So I'm at this stage where I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And, you know, I'm looking to what I'm going to do next. I don't know that I'll ever retire from work, but I will refire into something else. And I hired a coach last year and invested in myself and in my dreams. And the things that attracted me to medicine are who I am. I love learning. I love teaching. I love changing people's lives and impacting them. I could not really do something just for the sake of making money. That's been something that's been a compass and affected many of the transitions and decisions I've had. And through that year journey with a coach, I just am really excited about what you talk about mindset, about how powerful a change in your mind can change your entire life and future. Whether it's a quote, whether it's a question, whether it's a book, whether it's a podcast. And the most powerful things that have changed me to be happy in medicine today, when so many people are burnt out and heading for the fire exits, are these things that I've learned on my journey that are actually the opposite of what we'll do in medicine. And breaking out of the medical mindset became my sharing of doing the opposite of what we do in medicine in life to make you happier and freer. And I have, I share 2 newsletters or blog posts a week, and we have live Zoom calls with guests, with people who offer investment opportunities. We had one with GoBundance, and I have a course sharing 30 of these mindset pivots.
It's terrific. It sounds like a long journey, and I'm on board with everything that you're doing.
Cool. And thank you.
There's a lot to unpack there, though.
Yeah. So
the one thing I'm just going to touch on is it's very shocking to me to hear that the medical profession has such a negative mindset, but it makes sense. You know, I don't think a lot of the common people really think about that. but you guys deal with a lot of very serious complications. But to not humanize the profession, I think, is a detriment. And hopefully with the new younger generations, which we all see the progression towards being open, honest, humanizing, we'll change that profession a little bit. Again, not being a professional in that field, I don't know how much things can change. But one of the other things that you were saying is these transitions that you've made. You've consistently said that they're uncomfortable, but it changed from when you were younger, uncomfortable, scary, and painful, to now it's uncomfortable, but it's exciting. So that just shows a growth in your mentality and your mindset, that now as you're older, when you have to make a change and it's like, you're changing for the better, it's now exciting and you're excited to search and explore and expand, educate yourself. One of the other things that you did mention here is one that uncomfortable moment was because you had changed the mastermind. And it's not that the mastermind didn't do for you or get to you to a certain point, but you were seeking a different type of value. And that mastermind helped you get to a certain point. And now you're searching for something else. So change is inevitable in all of our lives. So I want the audience to be mindful that there's always going to be a point in your life where you have to decide. And I think you had mentioned this in one of your past podcasts. You said it's either the hell no or the hell yes mentality, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Can we talk about that real quick?
We can, because one of the
medical... Go down a segue. Yeah.
Yes, one of the medical mindsets, and really in a lot of social media and a lot of social interactions, is everyone wants to say yes and feels very uncomfortable not saying yes. In medicine, in pre-med, med school, residency, you are appreciated and valued for saying yes. No one expects you to say no. Yes, I can take care of anything. If you can't do it, then you are either not driven enough, not focused enough, not committed enough. That is a fail. So yes is the answer. And I think in social interactions, a lot of people prefer to say yes, whether or not it's true or not, sadly. But that every time you say yes, on the flip side, on the boom side of that medical mindset, you are giving away your time, someone else's dream, someone else's focus, someone else's goal. And no is incredibly powerful. No frees you up to have more time, to have more choices, to sit back and even think of what you want. No is power, right? And no allows you to keep saying no to find that hell yes. So that is something I've learned, something I'm comfortable with. I'm comfortable saying no. And that's really just being honest. It doesn't have to be mean or even negative. It's just authentic. It's not a match.
I definitely agree with that. Whereas my younger self would always say, be a yes man. And I think that's the part of institutionalizing yourself into a system.
Yes.
Because, we want to be seen as that reliable person.
It's playing the game, right? It's giving people what they want.
Exactly. It's definitely playing the game. But once you're out of that mindset, once you're making these shifts, and you start to grow and change and start to understand yourself, what's good for you, you have the power to say no. And that's where the power comes in. So not saying it's good or bad either way, because there are certain points in our lives where I think we should explore all the yeses. But at the
there's a time and place for both, right?
Exactly.
I mean, the medical mindset works in medicine when you're dealing with life and death, mm-hmm. when you're dealing with very serious matters. What happens is, though, you translate that to every aspect of your life. And suddenly you're treating your wife like a patient and your kids like your employees. And you're taking everything life and death serious. And that is not a way to go, because your wife didn't sign up to be your patient and your kids didn't sign up to be your employees. and your life should be more brilliant and beautiful and fun and lighter than your work. So there's just a different hat to wear in different roles of your life. And that's what breaking out of the medical mindset represents and is meant to teach. And really, we have even non-medical people who just align with that, because that works for lawyers, engineers, educators, anyone who's gone through a process of this is how you get to do this, and then have used that in every aspect of their life.
I enjoy that thoroughly. It's stop and smell the roses before the roses smell you.
Yes.
And that's one of those things. So I took a Dale Carnegie course. And if any of you guys follow Dale Carnegie, we talk about compartmentalizing your life. And I think that's something that Brett's talking about here. You don't want to treat your children, your wife, your cohorts as patients. You don't want to treat them the same, because then everything gets convoluted. And so I really enjoy that. It's very, very difficult, guys. So just so you know, it's very difficult. A lot of the practices that we talk about here is a culmination of many, many years of just being a student of the practice, being a part of the journey, and being able to recognize when you're gearing towards one thing or the other, because we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. We're not going to get it right 100% of the time, but it's about recognizing when we're falling into those types of habits. The one thing that I really enjoy here as well is we keep talking about this institutionalization into a system. And I love how we're talking about it in medical practice, but you were just saying yourself, you have a lot of students that are outside that practice, because I think the system is broken, and we got to take a look at it. So whether you're climbing the ladder in your corporate career as a doctor, lawyer, attorney, accountant, whatever it is, we just have to break down our lives and make sure we are compartmentalizing that, so that life could be brilliant, like Brett's saying. And it's going to be difficult along the journey, but that's why we have this podcast, because we want to let you guys know we're all human, but these are the things that we got to look at as we're following the path. And, you know,
yeah, like, I collect quotes and questions myself, and I love just having them around because they're good reminders. It is so easy to be distracted by the things you can't control and to forget. And I think people can be a reminder. The podcasts you listen to can be a reminder. The books you read can be a reminder. These are all choices, right? Of yep. What we want to be reminded of. I like to be reminded of where I want to go and my future or my gratitude for now, and less so remembering the past or repeating what I've done before, because I've done there, been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. And think of these things as your mental post-it notes, you know, like your podcast. It's a post-it note just to remind you. So even though you think you've made it, you're going to have some difficult times and you're going to need reminders. So a book, a quote, a podcast, they're your mental post-it notes.
Great.
Yes, definitely. So one of the things that I loved hearing in your past podcast was, and you did mention it here, is looking at the cost versus the investment, the value. And a lot of people, myself included, I'm still in this point in my life where, when's the right time to jump into a mindset, into a mastermind? And we got to start looking at it as an investment in ourselves and not just the cost. So do you have a little bit of advice for somebody that is still just looking at it as that's a cost? I could spend it at the bar. I could buy myself a new car. I could do X, Y, Z. Do you have some advice there?
Yeah, I think the return is what makes the difference. And I grapple with this with the coach that I paid for. I grapple this when I renew my mastermind memberships. what I'm getting out of this is, or what or who I'm going to be on the other side of this, worth the investment? That's the difference between an expense and an investment, right? An expense, you spend it, it's gone, and it's done. Whereas an investment, you are putting money towards a better future, towards a better you, towards a better life. So that is what helps me differentiate those two things. I spend money and, you know, go out to dinner, but I don't do it a lot because I don't really care about food that much. But I spend money on a vacation, and I do grapple even with that, because as much as I love vacations and that's life and experiences, when it's done, it's done. So my kids, who love vacations as well, you know, remind me, and I still like those life experiences, because I think experiences and education are incredibly valuable. And that's what life's about, right? We all have a reason we're here, and we should enjoy every day that we're given as a gift.
Yes. Again, I've been enjoying everything that you're saying, and I do 100% believe in experiences as well, because, you know, not to get morbid here, but when you're lying on your deathbed and you're thinking about your past and your history, you're thinking about the experiences. You're not thinking about that Gucci bag that you bought.
Or how many doors you had.
Or how many doors you have. Yes. You're thinking about the experiences that you've had with everybody along the journey, that vacation you took with your wife, the special times you had with your children. And that's why I really enjoyed something that you said earlier, is just not doing something just to make money. So that's always a reoccurring theme in our podcast, because you start to realize and understand if you're chasing money, that's a very empty journey. There's no, you know, happiness isn't at the other end. You'll just want more and more and more. Like, what is enough for you? So those are all things that I always say to be mindful of. Stop and smell the roses. I don't always say the second part, but I say stop and smell the roses, because we got to be mindful and thankful for what we have today, because we're chasing happiness, but we don't realize happiness is around us right now. And happiness can be found in what we have and what we've built, and, you know, just be mindful of that. I'm sorry, yeah, I cut you off.
Well, I'm just going to say happiness is available in every moment. It really is. It's all closing your eyes and taking a breath and being happy that you're alive. Right?
Yes.
I mean, I am reminded by my patients of that incredible value. And we all have tragedy strike around us. And one positive of that is the reminder of, hey, wake up. You are alive. That's not you. Enjoy it now.
Yes. So I'm curious, in Boom, Breaking Out of the Medical Mindset, what do the courses look like? How much of this that we've been talking about is taught? And what's the typical medical professional that comes into the program? And tell me how it's also benefited people outside the medical profession.
So our audience has physical therapists, nurses, some people who just know me or have heard me speak and are interested in what I talk about. And really, Boom could be breaking out of my medical mindset or my mindset,
yes,
without the medical there. Because really, it is a collection. There's 30 units, and each unit, I share quotes, I share questions to ask yourself, and then I share content, usually with a story of a light bulb moment that I learned. And then I even share books. We talk about many books that have had an impact on me. Who Not How, learning about leverage, Robert Kiyosaki, learning about the tax quadrants, Brené Brown, just a lot of ways to think differently. I think it would resonate with really all of your listeners, because this is all about mindset.
Well, that is one of the reasons I did want to go down that path, because for everybody listening, you could think about this as your weekly audio mastermind, where it's just consistent reminders. Again, your mental post-it notes of the different practices. But when you're diving into the deep end, again, we talk about this stuff at a very high level, but you really have to be a practitioner of all this to really get the benefit. And it's always a journey. You're never going to find the end of that journey. The road never ends. And that's something that I want everybody to be mindful of. So there's a lot of value in investing into programs like this. So whether you participate in Brett's, boom, breaking out of medical mindset, or mindset, or you just even get together a group of guys, because I think you said this is how it started, right? You got a group of guys together. Yes, exactly. And I just had a great guest on, his name, Sean Croxton. His quote is, little by little, a little becomes a lot.
Yeah, so. That's a great quote. Yeah, I mean, one day at a time. Just do something that is different from doing nothing.
Yes.
You know, don't stand still. Take one step. You know, read one book, join one call, join one group, and just learn from it and then move on. As long as you're moving forward, you're not making a mistake. All you're doing is learning and growing.
And the one thing that we were talking about before the call is, don't be so hard on yourself. You know, you're 25, you're 35, you're 40, you're 50. It's never too late to start. A lot of times, our biggest barrier is ourselves, because we tell ourselves all these negative things. You're not pretty enough. You're too old. You're not young enough. Your body hurts. All this type of negative self-talk, but really it's about overcoming that and realizing, you know, again, it's a culmination and being able to recognize when you're putting yourself in this negative mindset. And groups like Brett help you break out of that mindset, because we consistently need to be reminded. And sometimes that's that person on the other end of the Zoom meeting giving you a poke, saying, hey, what are you thinking? You know, like, stop thinking that. You are not that.
Yeah, I think we all need to hear that from other people. And even people that don't necessarily love us or aren't married to us. And that is a benefit of mastermind groups, or that is a benefit of choosing people that give you positivity and teach you and support you or lead you. And we get to choose that. There are so many opportunities out there nowadays. There's so many voices. There's so many thought leaders and concepts. I mean, it's endless. We can always learn and grow from other people.
Which that brings me up to a point, which is very weird, that sometimes, like, why do we have to hear it from certain people for it to resonate?
Well, I would answer that by,
yes, please.
By we connect to different people's stories is really it. And some people speak to us and some people don't. So I think you need to find someone that speaks your language, that understands your problem, and that leads you the way. That's what I would say. And everyone doesn't speak to everybody, right? We're all different.
Right. Yeah, I know a lot of people out there that are like, RJ, he's a hack, he's an asshole, he's this, that. And, you know, I used to get really brought down by that, because we want to please people. It's sort of like the yes man. You want to say yes to everybody. You want to be a people pleaser. So when I heard that, you know, somebody thought about me a certain way, I used to let that affect my day. And sort of affect how I moved on in my other relationships, which, you know, you got to be true to yourself. You got to really figure out who you are to really go out in the world and be the best that you could be and live a life of brilliance and bright color and all this awesome stuff that Brett was talking about that we want you guys to experience.
You know, everyone deserves to be happy. If you were born, you deserve to love your life and impact other people and have a great time along the way, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm going to ask you, I sort of asked it earlier, but I'm going to ask you to paraphrase it in maybe one or two sentences. Something impactful that you would have told yourself at a younger stage in your life. Give that to the audience real quick.
I would say never stop dreaming and never stop searching for choices and people that bring you into the future you want to live and the future person you want to be. That's really what I've learned and still try to follow and have to remember today.
Terrific. Which, right after I just said that thing about being a people pleaser, it sort of brought me back to a time in my life where I should have gotten away from groups because they weren't what I was about or where I wanted to go, but I was too busy trying to please people. And so I'm looking up because I'm like thinking about all this, the crazy journey that has been. So I always end the podcast. I don't think you've heard maybe some of the newer ones, but I end with fun questions. Fun okay. questions for the guests. So it's our fire round. Are you ready for some fun questions here?
Hit me. I'm ready.
Awesome. So one of the things is, what is a weird food you used to eat and loved? And would you still eat it today?
What is a weird food I used to eat? Well, I mean, I loved Funyuns, and I would not eat it today because I doubt there's anything real in it. It's as synthetic as you get. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. I don't really eat a lot of preserved foods anymore.
Okay. When's the last time you had Funyuns?
10, 15 years ago.
Wow, you're so strong. I used to love Funyuns too, and I think I ate a bag about a year ago just because I see it and I'm like, oh, I want to taste those again. That's really funny. So where is one beautiful place you visited and is will always remain like a special place in your heart?
Well, I was engaged on an island called Ibiza off the coast of Spain. And this was really just a trip I was taking with my wife and spend the majority of the trip figuring out how I could find the courage to ask her to marry me. And we got engaged out there. But it was really beautiful. And it was one of these vacations where everything was just on point and easy and fun and free. So that was a really great time.
Have you been back since? You've been married not. Over 20 years?
Yeah. Oh. I've been, but we choose to go to different places all the time because there's so many places to explore and discover.
Too many places.
Yeah.
So I always ask that question because I'm like, oh, bucket list.
Marbella on the coast of Spain is beautiful.
Awesome. Marbella. Yes. I haven't even heard of that. So take mental note of that. Marbella. All right. So when you're not too busy being a doctor or following all your passions, what is a hobby or activity that you love to do?
I play tennis. I try to play tennis 6 hours a week, 3 days a week. So I love that. And I love the social part of it. I love the meditative part of it. I love the competitive part of it. I love music. My wife's a singer. So we have music on in the house all the time. We're having a birthday party for her tomorrow and have a DJ and get to pick our music. Oh, nice. And stuff. So I love music and enjoy it. We could go see live music or friends. We have a friend who is a drummer. We have friends who play. And so I would say those are my two pastimes that I do when I'm not working.
So this is just springing off the top. What's a genre of music people wouldn't expect you to listen to, but you love?
I love gospel.
Okay.
I'm Jewish, but I love Christian rock.
Okay.
So I think those would surprise people.
Yeah. Definitely. That's an awesome fun twist there.
Yes.
What was the most impactful book for you? I know there's many along the journey, but if you, there was one like far out in your youth that really started getting the wheels spinning.
Oh, there's so many. That's a really, really, really hard question. I really liked Mindset, about growth mindset. That really gave me a different perspective, because doctors are very fixed, black and white. And I realized how many places I was very fixed, and looking at it from a growth perspective really aligns with a lot of the things we're talking about today. So that was very powerful. And she gives examples of different, whether it's athletes or performers, and how that helped or hurt them. So that was powerful for me.
That is actually my top book. After not reading for over a decade, I just one day, I don't know how I got a hold of that book, but I saw Mindset, Carol Dweck, right?
Yes,
that what we're talking about? And it was really very pivotal for me. And that started my path. That's what I'd want to say for myself, was a very pivotal book. So I'm very happy you said that. First time one of our guests have said that. So that's awesome. Let's see here. The last one is, and we want to know, what does the future look like for you?
My future is full, for sure, and exciting. I'm growing my medical practice. We're looking for two new people, so that's an exciting growth phase. My kids are are teenagers and heading towards college. My girls are 16. They're going to be seniors next year. So that's an exciting time of them discovering where their next place will be and what that will be, and getting to start over. And same with my son, who's in community college and hoping to transfer to a four-year university. I'm expanding my real estate investments. For the first time, I partnered with some other guys and bought a multifamily 29-unit apartment building in Kansas City. So that's an exciting journey for me. And Boom is going to expand. We're going to be having new features next year, sharing success stories from doctors who have broken out of the medical mindset and what they've done to achieve that. I'm hoping to have a retreat local here in Southern California, and partner with someone who will have a retreat in Southern Florida. So those are all exciting things. I love doing the writing. I love connecting, and I love finding other people who have a similar mindset. One thing I've learned definitely is that everyone is not going to align with you, but there are so many people who will. And finding people who have a similar mission and similar values and similar goals just helps propel you all so much faster.
Yes. Well, I'm excited for your future.
Thank you.
And I support every aspect of that journey, because, you know, our conversations today were very fulfulfilling for me. And just like Brett said, I think the phrase everybody's using now is find your tribe, find the people that you align with. And it was a reoccurring theme throughout our conversation that not everybody's going to align with you. And you got to get out of that institutional thinking of people pleasing and being a yes man. And you got to break out of the mold and break out of that shell. And you got to say, hell no, sometimes. So that's really exciting. And one last thing I want to let you guys know is, the future is bright. The future is bright for all of us. It's just how you choose to look at it. You're in a change, a transition in your life. I know there's been a lot of layoffs lately, and you could look at it as one or two things. You could look at it as a positive aspect, a time to regroup, to really focus on yourself, and then identify where you want to move forward and a change, a positive change, a reset. Or it could be a lonely, negative path that, you know, I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want you guys to go there. But the whole point is, you know, throughout our conversations is there are a community of people out there that you could reach out to for support that extend beyond your social circles. So you just got to get out there and look for them. So,
yep, they are there for you.
They are there. So as always, guys, we're going to wrap up here. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Mindset Matters. As you guys know, as of today, this is not being monetized. So the biggest thing that you could do to help out the show is to share it with a friend. Leave, like it, review it, 5 stars. Send us feedback. If you don't like it, send us feedback. I put my personal email in each of the podcast notes, show notes. So you could go ahead and reach out to me. We'll also have ways to contact Dr. Brent Levine and boom in the show notes. So if you've liked what you've heard from him, you could go ahead and reach out to him and be a part of his tribe, be a part of Boom, break out of that mindset that we're trying to help you with here. The 1 hour audio mastermind, guys, come on, help us out. So with that being said, we're going to say goodbye and
we'll see you
guys all next week. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, you made it to the end. As always, thanks for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please let us know by leaving a review, sharing with a friend, or simply reaching out. Also, we are always searching for our next guest. So if you have what it takes or know somebody that should be on, be sure to reach out. See you next week.